In 1947, a young Bedouin shepherd boy was tending his flock of sheep in Qumran on the banks of the Dead Sea. After hearing one of his idly thrown rocks strike a ceramic pot inside a nearby empty cave, the boy found within the broken pot pages of ancient texts. A total of 850 sacred texts were eventually discovered, all around 2,000 years old. These scriptures, now known as the Dead Sea Scrolls, contained many details about an ancient spiritual group called the Essenes. Other teachings of the Essenes have been unearthed from the secret archives of the Vatican. The Essenes were often found in communities where meditation or prayer was an important part of daily life that was dedicated to God. The faithful carried within a beautiful light, the light of God, and this light was to be shared with other inhabitants of the earth. With respect for all forms of life, the Essenes' diet was purely vegetarian. Today, we present the ancient wisdom of the Essenes with an excerpt from the Essene Gospel of Peace, Book 1.
And now I speak to you in the living tongue of the living God, through the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father. There is none yet among you that can understand all of which I speak. He who expounds to you the Scriptures speaks to you in a dead tongue of dead men, through his diseased and mortal body. Him therefore can all men understand, for all men are diseased and all are in death. No one sees the light of life. Blind man leads blind on the dark paths of sins, diseases, and sufferings, and at last all fall into the pit of death.
I am sent to you by the Father, that I may make the light of life to shine before you. The light lightens itself and the darkness, but the darkness knows only itself, and knows not the light. I have still many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them yet. For your eyes are used to the darkness, and the full light of the Heavenly Father would make you blind. Therefore you cannot yet understand that which I speak to you concerning the Heavenly Father who sent me to you.
Follow therefore first only the laws of your earthly mother, of which I have told you. And when her angels shall have cleansed and renewed your bodies and strengthened your eyes, you will be able to bear the light of our Heavenly Father. When you can gaze on the brightness of the noonday sun with unflinching eyes, you can then look upon the blinding light of your Heavenly Father, which is 1,000 times brighter than the brightness of 1,000 suns. But how should you look upon the blinding light of your Heavenly Father when you cannot even bear the shining of the blazing sun?
Believe me, the sun is as the flame of a candle beside the sun of truth of the Heavenly Father. Have but faith, therefore, and hope and love. I tell you truly, you shall not want your reward. If you believe in my words, you believe in him who sent me, who is the Lord of all, and with whom all things are possible. For what is impossible with men, all these things are possible with God. If you believe in the angels of the earthly mother and do her laws, your faith shall sustain you, and you shall never see disease. Have hope also in the love of your Heavenly Father, for he who trusts in him shall never be deceived, nor shall he ever see death.
Love one another, for God is love, and so shall his angels know that you walk in his paths. And then shall all the angels come before your face and serve you. And Satan, with all his sins, diseases, and uncleanliness, shall depart from your body. Go eschew your sins. Repent yourselves, baptize yourselves, that ye may be born again and sin no more.
Then Jesus rose, but all else remained sitting, for every man felt the power of his words. And then the full moon appeared between the breaking clouds and folded Jesus in its brightness. And sparks flew upward from his hair, and he stood among them in the moonlight, as though he hovered in the air. And no man moved, neither was the voice of any heard, and no one knew how long a time had passed, for time stood still.
Then Jesus stretched out his hands to them and said, "Peace be with you." And so he departed as the breath of wind sways the green of trees. And for a long while yet, the company sat still, and then they woke in the silence. One man after another, like as from a long dream, but none would go, as if the words of him who had left them ever sounded in their ears. And they sat as though they listened to some wondrous music.
But at last one, as it were a little fearfully, said, "How good it is to be here!" Another, "Would that this night were everlasting!" And others, "Would that he might be with us always! Of a truth, he is God's messenger, for he planted hope within our hearts." And no man wished to go home, saying, "I go not home where all is dark and joyless. Why should we go home where no one loves us?"
And they spoke on this wise, for they were almost all poor, lame, blind, maimed, beggars, homeless, despised in their wretchedness, who were only born for pity's sake in the houses where they found a few days' refuge. Even certain who had both home and family said, "We also will stay with you." For every man felt that the words of him who was gone bound the little company with threads invisible. And all felt that they were born again. They saw before them a shining world, even when the moon was hidden in the clouds. And in the hearts of all blossomed wondrous flowers of wondrous beauty, the flowers of joy.
Bright sunbeams appeared over the earth's rim. They all felt that it was the sun of the coming kingdom of God, and with joyful countenances they went forth to meet God's angels. And many unclean and sick followed Jesus' words and sought the banks of the murmuring streams. They put off their shoes and their clothing, they fasted, and they gave up their bodies to the angels of air, of water, and of sunshine. And the earthly mother's angels embraced them, possessing their bodies both inwards and outwards, and all of them saw all evils, sins, and uncleanliness depart in haste for them.
And the breath of some became as stinking as that which is loosened from the bowels, and some had an issue of spittle, and evil-smelling and unclean vomit rose from their inner parts, and all these uncleannesses flowed by their mouths, in some by the nose, in others by the eyes and ears. And many did have a noisome and abominable sweat come from all their body, over all their skin. And on many limbs great hot boils broke forth, from which came out uncleanliness with an evil smell, and urine flowed abundantly from their body. And in many their urine was all but dried up, and became thick as the honey of bees. That of others was almost red or black, and as hard almost as the sand of rivers.
And many belched stinking gases from their bowels, like the breath of devils, and their stench became so great that none could bear it. And when they baptized themselves, the angel of water entered their bodies, and from them flowed out all the abominations and uncleanliness of their past sins, and like a falling mountain stream, gushed from their bodies a multitude of hard and soft abominations. And the ground where their waters flowed was polluted, and so great became the stench that none could remain there.
And all were trembling with terror when they looked upon all these abominations of Satan, from which the angels had saved them. And they rendered thanks to God, who had sent his angels for their deliverance. And there were some whom great pains tormented, which would not depart from them, and knowing not what they should do, they resolved to send one of them to Jesus, for they greatly wished he should be with them.
And when two were gone to seek him, they saw Jesus himself approaching by the bank of the river. And their hearts were filled with hope and joy when they heard his greeting, "Peace be with you." And many were the questions that they desired to ask him. But in their astonishment they could not begin, for nothing came into their minds. Then said Jesus to them, "I come because you need me." And one cried out, "Master, we do indeed. Come and free us from our pains."
And Jesus spoke to them in parables. "You are like the prodigal son, who for many years did eat and drink and passed his days in riotousness and lechery with his friends. And every week, without his father's knowledge, he incurred new debts and squandered all in a few days. And the money lenders always lent to him, because his father possessed great riches and always paid patiently the debts of his son.
And in vain did he with fair words admonish his son, for he never listened to the admonitions of his father, who besought him in vain that he would give up his debaucheries which had no end, and that he would go to his fields to watch over the labor of his servants. And the son always promised him everything if he would pay his old debts, but the next day he began again. And for more than 7 years the son continued in his riotous living. But at last his father lost patience and no more paid to the moneylenders the debts of his son.
"If I continue always to pay," he said, "there will be no end to the sins of my son." Then the moneylenders, who were deceived, in their wrath took the son into slavery, that he might by his daily toil pay back to them the money which he had borrowed. And then ceased the eating and drinking and the daily excesses. From morning until night, by the sweat of his face he watered the fields, and all his limbs ached with the unaccustomed labor. And he lived upon dry bread, and had naught but his tears with which he could water it.
And 3 days after he suffered so much from the heat and from weariness that he said to his master, "I can work no more, for all my limbs do ache. How long would you torment me? Till the day when by the labor of your hands you pay me all your debts, and when 7 years are past, you will be free." And the desperate son answered, weeping, "But I cannot bear so much as 7 days. Have pity on me, for all my limbs do burn and ache." And the wicked creditor cried out, "Press on with the work. If you could for 7 years spend your days and your nights in riotousness, now must you work for 7 years. I will not forgive you till you pay back all your debts to the uttermost drachma, or form of currency."
And the son, with his limbs racked with pain, went back despairingly to the fields to continue his work. Already he could hardly stand on his feet because of his weariness and of his pains, when the seventh day was come, the Sabbath day, in which no man works in the field. Then the son gathered the remnant of his strength and staggered to the house of his father. And he cast himself down at his father's feet, and he said, "Father, believe me for the last time and forgive me all my offenses against you. I swear to you that I will never live riotously again, and that I will be your obedient son in all things. Free me from the hands of my oppressors. Father, look upon me and upon my sick limbs, and harden not your heart."
Then tears came into his father's eyes, and he took his son in his arms and said, "Let us rejoice, for today a great joy is given me, because I have found again my beloved son who was lost." And he clothed him with his choicest raiment, and all the day long they made merry. And on the morning of the morrow, he gave his son a bag of silver, that he might pay to his creditors all that he owed them.
And when his son came back, he said to him, "My son, do you see that it is easy through riotous living to incur debts for 7 years? But their payment is difficult by the heavy labor of 7 years. Father, it is indeed hard to pay them, even for 7 days. And his father admonished him, saying, For this once alone has it been permitted you to pay your debts in 7 days instead of 7 years. The rest is forgiven you. But take heed that in the time to come you do not incur more debts. For I tell you truly that none else but your Father forgives you your debts, because you are his son. For with all else you would have had to labor hard for 7 years, as it is commanded in our laws.
My Father, I will henceforth be your loving and obedient son, and I will not any more incur debts, for I know that their payment is hard. And he went to his father's field and watched every day over the work of his father's laborers. And he never made his laborers work hard, for he remembered his own heavy labor. And the years passed, and his father's possession increased ever more and more beneath his hand, for the blessing of his father was upon his labor. And slowly he gave back tenfold to his father all that he had squandered in the 7 years.
And when his father saw that his son used well his servants and all his possessions, he said to him, My son, I see that my possessions are in good hands. I give you all my house, my lands, and my treasures. Let all this be your heritage. Continue increasing it that I may have delight in you. And when the son had received his inheritance from his father, he forgave their debts to all his debtors who could not pay him. For he did not forget that his debt also had been forgiven when he could not pay it. And God blessed him with long life, with many children, and with much riches, because he was kind to all.
Thank you for joining us for Between Master and Disciples. Up next is Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, right after Noteworthy News, here on Supreme Master Television. May Providence guide your life in wisdom and love.